Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
How many of y'all were here on Sunday? So, I had a word for the congregation on Sunday, and the Lord wanted me to expound on that. And so, thank you, sir. So I'm going to do that. My throat's a little scratchy. Sorry, I've been sick all week, and you know, it was really hard to sing on Sunday. I just have to say that I couldn't hear anything. It was just like a big blob in my head. Amen. Everybody doing okay tonight?
Yes.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, it's a different view from up here looking out. I'm glad y'all are here. All right. You know, I have a word of prophecy tonight. So, I want you all, if you've never experienced a move of the Holy Spirit in supernatural ways, if you've never seen people speak in tongues or prophesy, I want you tonight to realize that God still moves this way.
Amen.
He still does. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. Okay? For a long time, I fought my calling as a prophet, and God said, this is what I called you to do, Crystal.
Yes.
And if you don't do this, then you won't do anything.
Amen.
So I have to walk in that. I have to bring forth that word that God gives me. And sometimes I feel weird doing it, but guess what? I'm kind of weird anyways, okay? So I don't know about y'all, but I don't know, you know, I would think we're all a little weird, right? God is different. He is supernatural. He is beyond our ways. He's beyond our thoughts. Okay?
Amen.
Turn with me to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Let's see if I can even find it because it's a little bitty book. Chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out unto you of the violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. The law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceeds. Verse 5, God answers him here, and he says, Behold, you among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, even though it's told to you. See, so God was answering Habakkuk that he was going to do something on a grand scale. The magnitude of this coming judgment from the Babylonians would be so astonishing that the prophet would see, it would be unbelievable to him even. This context right here, right, is a negative outcome. But God is speaking this season in a positive outcome. Okay? God has said, Behold, I am going to work a work in your days which you will not believe even though it's told to you.
Yes.
What God has said to me is he says, This season, do not look around you. There is fear everywhere. There is injustice and unlawfulness. There is bloodshed and civil unrest. There is violence and contention. But I am moving during this season in such a way, so great and so mighty, that if you would not see it with your own eyes, you would not believe it. This is coming forward this season. And God even said, even as I'm saying to you this now, God says there's people here that don't believe it, even if I'm speaking it, because they've never seen God do great and mighty things. You don't even believe it now. But if you will trust and believe in God, you will see a move of God in this time that is so great and mighty that if you had not seen it with your own eyes, you would not believe it. What do I mean by great and mighty? Great is of ability, quality, or eminence considerably above normal. Considerably above normal. Mighty, possessing great and impressive power or strength. Great power, great strength. Great and mighty things, what God said to me. I'm talking about parting the Red Sea and walking on dry land type stuff. I'm talking about rivers in the midst of the desert type stuff. I'm talking about bread from heaven. I'm talking about people walking on water. I'm talking about healing the sick, raising the dead. These things are coming. They are coming. Believe me. And I hope that as I even preach this, you can feel it resonate in your spirit. Because I'm not the only one right now preaching this. I'm talking about walls of Jericho coming down. Smack down into the ground because the trumpet was blown. Sun, stand still. These type of things are coming. Miracles, signs, and wonders like you've never seen before. Like our generation has not seen. There are generations that have seen this, not our generation. And God says, we're the generation that's going to see God move so great and so mighty that if we had not seen it with our own eyes, we would not believe it. Come on, come on. Y'all should get excited about that because it's fixing to get ugly for a minute here. So you better get excited about this part. So the Lord gave me a dream a year ago and he told me to share it tonight. How many of y'all know you need to have wisdom and discernment when God gives you something? You can't just go and share everything God gives you. When God gives you something, he says it's for a time and for a place and for a reason. And so God gave me a dream and a vision over a year ago. Okay. And at that time I shared it with a few people, but God said, share it tonight. And I pray that it goes out and that other people will listen to this as well. So I was in a prayer service and God showed me a picture of a big body. And then there was head and arms, legs, everything, right? This big body. And then God showed me the blood circulating throughout the body. And it was going perfectly except for this one leg. And the left leg was dying. There was no blood circulation in it. It just, I mean, the blood was barely trickling through as I'm watching this. And everywhere else, it was going perfectly. The blood was going perfectly. And so I said, what does that mean, God? And the Lord began to show it to me. And I shared it with somebody else. And I said, will you pray with me about this? Will you help me to tell me what God is showing me in this? And as soon as they said it, I knew it. That left leg is America. And God said, that leg is not receiving my spirit. America, the Spirit of God is dying in America. And it's flowing well in other parts of the world. It's flowing well in Africa. It's flowing well in South America. It's flowing well in China. But in America, it's been stagnant. And that leg was beginning to die, and it began to affect the rest of the circulation because we are the body of Christ. And so the very next night, I had a dream, and in my dream, for those of you that don't know my past, when I was 17, I OD'd. Okay? I grew up around drugs and alcohol. I grew up in that kind of atmosphere, and so when I was 17, I OD'd, and I was dying, and I called out to God, and I said, "Lord, save me. I don't know you, God, but I don't want to die. Please save me." And I felt a hand come in and pump my heart all night long. But after that, I had circulation problems in my left leg. And my left leg, it appeared as if it had died. And it was really weird things would happen. I'd be sitting outside and there'd be ants all over my leg, on my left leg. Not my right leg, but my left leg. So, and I didn't have any insurance. I didn't go to the doctor. I can't tell you what happened. I don't know. I don't know. But these circulation problems have affected me on my left, in my left leg. So I did something to my left leg. And so in my dream, I was, in my dream, God spoke to me and he said, "What's going on with your circulation is metonic exegesis." And I began arguing with God because I said, "God, I majored in biology." And I said, "Metonic, God, is not a biology term. It's not an anatomy and physiology term." I was like, "You mean metabolic, God?" I'm in my dream, I'm arguing with God. I said, "God, you mean metabolic exegesis?" And he said, "No, I mean metonic exegesis." And I said, "No, God, you mean metabolic. Because metonic, I've never heard of. I don't know what that means. How does that relate to my body and my circulation?" And God said, "Write it down, Crystal. This is what's going on in your body." So in my dream, I wrote it down, and I'm like trying to put metabolic, and he said, "Metonic." He's yelling at me in my dream. And so I'm spelling it, and he said, "You're spelling it wrong. This is how it is." So in my dream, all of a sudden, I'm like excited. And I go to the doctor and I said, "This is what's going on with my body." And they began doing some tests, and I was extremely happy because I knew now that I was going to be healed and that I was going to be made whole. And so I woke up and I went in and I wrote it down right away. I wrote that word down and I began, exegesis means a study of something. Okay. It's a study of something. So I was like, "Okay, I know what exegesis means. What does metonic mean?" And I'm sharing it with Pastor Matt, and he said, "What are you talking about?" You know, he looked at me like I was crazy, and I was like, "Listen, honey, I don't know what to tell you, but this is what God said to me." So I wrote it down, and I began doing research on it. Well, it just so happens that metonic has to do with the Jewish calendar. And it literally has to do with lunar cycles. Okay. And as I began studying this, that 2014, this was, now mind you, this was last year that I had this dream, probably in about February or March of last year, 2013. And as I began doing this research, it coincided with 2014. It coincided with all the blood moons that y'all been hearing about, all that sort of stuff. And that 2014 was a metonic year. And that what that meant was that in 2014, according to the Jewish calendars, there's two seasons of Adar. Normally, there's one season of Adar. Well, the season of Adar is a springing forth. That's literally what it means. It's a springing forth, okay? And so as I began to metatonic exegesis, as I began to research this and see what this meant, the Lord said that there's a springing forth that's going to begin in 2014. A springing forth of the Holy Spirit in America. That God was going to restore the circulation in America. Amen. That the Holy Spirit was going to bring forth, he was going to spring forth in America, and God was going to restore the body. He was going to restore the blood flow. Amen? Amen? I mean, that's something to get excited about. Right? And so, as I began to do this, and God said, great and mighty things, as I begin to restore, as I begin to spring forth into the body, great and mighty things are going to happen. Amen? Amen? Amen. For the church. Now, we are living in the last days, okay? We are not in the tribulation, but we are making our way towards the tribulation. Okay? Satan is pursuing the church like never before in order to destroy it. He is mad and he is angry. And he is coming against God's bride. Okay, so turn with me to Matthew 24. Now, for those of you that like what Jesus says, these are Jesus' words. Jesus is talking about the signs of the end of this age. I'm going to start in verse 3. And so he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, and he says, tell us, what are these things? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And so Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you do not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. These things must happen, okay? So don't think like, oh, does God know what's going on? Yes, God knows what's going on. He says these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen? Amen. Verse 24 and 25, he says, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Okay? What does this mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what it means. Luckily for you guys, I've studied the book of Revelation for 20 years. Like, I have read everything about it. I can pretty much tell you just about anything about it, to my understanding. What does this mean? False prophets and religious compromise within the visible church will increase and deceive many. Folks, this is already going on. I don't know. I don't know about you. This is already going on. This has already taken place. This first sign has special importance. Toward the end of this age, religious deception will be rampant. Religious deception will be rampant. Jesus is so concerned that his followers be aware of the coming worldwide spiritual deception that he repeats it twice more in verse 11 and verse 24. That's why I read those other scriptures to you. He's telling us you need to be aware because deception is coming. Okay? Be aware. Folks, these things were written down for us to read and follow. To put into our life. Okay? False prophets will preach a distorted gospel. Many will gain strategic leadership positions, enabling them to deceive and mislead. Deception. We have to be aware of that, right? Jesus said it a couple times. Look for these things. Be aware. The second thing, an increase of wars, famines, and earthquakes. He says, nation will rise against nation. Now, this is a Greek word that's translated, it's ethnos, which is translated as ethnicity. So it's not necessarily like, you know, Germany's going to rise against Italy. It means that ethnic groups will rise against ethnic groups. Look what's coming back into America. You know, we're seeing it, man, and it's ugly. It's ugly, right? That is nation against nation. People of different ethnicities will rise against each other, right? This is racism, those ethnic conflicts. And for some reason, man, they are hot on the scene right now. They are hot. Number three, persecution of God's people will become more severe. The persecution of God's people is going to become more severe. As we get closer, Satan, like I said, Satan is coming against the bride. So if you feel persecuted now, hold on. We're warned of these things. He said these things are going to come. They are going to come. They have to come. We will suffer greatly because of our loyalty to Jesus and His Word. I don't know about y'all. I don't know if y'all notice how the Word of God is under attack right now. Man, folks, it is under attack. The Word of God is under attack. Why do you think it's under attack? Satan doesn't want us to know it. We get out of the Word, we get misled. As soon as we get away from the Word, we get misled. Right? Number four, many will forsake their loyalty to Christ. This is the great apostasy spoken of. That word great apostasy literally means falling away from. It means that they were once in and they fell away from. That's what great apostasy means. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Does anybody have their Bibles? Jennifer? Jennifer? All the Jennifers? And all the Jennifer said? Just kidding. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's the Holy Spirit saying this. He said, in the latter days, people will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. If you go down to verse 7, he says, starting verse 6, he said, but put the brethren in remembrance of these things. You shall be a good minister of Jesus, nursed up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained, but refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. There's a spirit of seduction, it says, that a seducing spirit will lead people away from the faith. That means we need to stay in the faith. We need to strengthen our faith. We need to stay in the Word of God so that we are not easily seduced. Professing believers will accept new revelation, even though it conflicts with the revealed Word of God. There's no new revelation. This is the revelation right here. This is it. When Jesus said, it is finished, He said, it's done. It's finished. It is finished and the works will continue. There's no new revelation. This is it. This new revelation leads to opposition to biblical truth. Folks, it's out there. All over. Number five, Violence, crime, disregard for God's law will increase rapidly, and a natural love for family will decrease. Oh my, oh my. Y'all seeing that? The natural love for family when, oh my gosh, I've never seen it before like it is now. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Know this also, that in the last days, so he says it again, right? Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such, that's wisdom, folks. Bad company corrupts good morals. If we cannot hang out with someone to love on them and minister to them without doing what they do, then we need to separate. An unbelievable increase in immorality, shamelessness, rebellion against God, and a throwing off of moral restraint will characterize the last days. Jesus said this in Luke 17. Luke 17, verses 22 through 33. He says, know this, the day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that lights out of the one part under heaven shines unto the other part, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. He says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. For they did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes. Even though shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So before he comes back, he said, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. And when you read about Noah, it said that every man's heart was evil and did evil. You know, and Noah preached to them for 100 years while he was making the ark, trying to save them. And 8 souls were saved. That is how it's going to be. Right? All of this paints a horrible picture, right? Yeah. It paints a horrible picture. It's scary. This is what is going on now, and it will get worse. Yes, it will. But here's what God says. During this time specifically, God says, do not fear. Mm-hmm. Come on, church. Mm-hmm. This is strong. God said, do not fear. Do not fear. See, God spoke to me and he goes, Crystal, get rid of every fear you have. Get rid of it now. Get rid of it. No more. We need to get rid of every fear. God, my God says, do not fear. Matthew 10:28, he says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See what happens when the fear of God is removed from people? A gripping fear of man will take over. And there's no fear of God in America. And so there's a huge spirit of fear in America because there's no fear of God. This fear, right? Fear is to be afraid exceedingly, terror, reverence. Right? Reverence is an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. That's that reverence we have for God. It's an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. And so he says, when you take the fear from me, you are respecting and awing man. You are respecting and awing the devil. Yeah. Oh, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know about y'all. That hit me really hard when God spoke that to me. He's the one that we reverence and awe. And he said, when you take that fear away from me, you begin to respect and awe the devil. You begin to respect and awe what man can do. Come on. We're to reverence, respect, and awe one. Get rid of the fear. If we are led by fear, we are not led by the Holy Spirit. When the Lord told all the things that would come upon the world at the end of age, he told his people two things. He said, stand up and look up. It's time for the righteous to stand up. It's time for the righteous to stand up. We are told in Revelation 21:8 that the first group thrown into the lake of fire will be the cowards. That's what it says, folks, once you read your Bible. It says cowards. Those that fear. Because they feared man more than God. They feared what man would do to them more than God. There's no place for cowardice in Christianity. It's time for Christians to stand up and demonstrate the faith we have in the one who is above all rule and authority and dominion. No true servant of the Lord can be ruled by the fear of man, but rather by true and holy fear of the Lord. Right? Paul said this in Galatians. He said, if I feared men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We got to get out of that fear, man. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. We must resolve now to grow every day in faith, not fear. We must resolve that we will grow in love and not fear. God said perfect love casts out fear. We must resolve to grow in the peace of God, not anger. And then the joy of the Lord will be our strength. See, what will happen if we do not get out that fear? When bad things happen, we will act in fear and it becomes rage. It'll become anger. And then we are not in the Holy Spirit. Get out. Get out that fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not. This season, the Holy Spirit is saying, get rid of the fear. In order to do what we need to do, we must go forth in the power and the strength of the Spirit. We must have boldness, not fear. Courage, not fear. Folks, God is going to be asking us to do some things. He says, stand up. Go forth. He's asked this of his people before. He told Joshua, go. Go. Go in my strength and my courage. I will go with you, but you got to go. Now more than ever, we must trust. We must trust. Turn with me to James chapter 2. And this is the scripture that God has just been blaring in me. In James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, he says, what is a prophet, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not worked, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily bread, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you do not give those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? He says, even so, faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. He says, yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now listen what he says here, because I'm going to tie this in. You're going to see where I'm going. He says, you believe there is one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble.
Yes, but it says,
but will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Yes.
Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Do you see then how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's pretty clear, right? Now I'm gonna explain this a little bit to you, because you know I've heard so many people say, well, you're supposed to be out, you know, doing all these things and stuff, which is true to an extent, but see, James is not talking about works as Paul refers to works in Romans, okay?
Yeah.
See, Paul refers to works in Romans as a desire to gain favor and earn salvation through obeying the law by one's own efforts. Okay? When Paul talks about works, that's what he's talking about in Romans, right? For James, works refers to our obligations to God that proceed from a sincere faith, a pure heart, and a desire to please God. This word believe, right? It said Abraham believed God. This is the Greek word pistou, and it means to rely on, have faith in, trust in, and commit to. It is a well-rounded word. Okay? This is a present participle, meaning it is supposed to be a constant thing. A constant thing. Abraham believed God. His willingness to sacrifice Isaac was an expression of his faith to his commitment to God. James is saying that faith cannot exist without commitment to and love for God. True faith always manifests itself in godly action and devotion to Jesus. And he says, dead faith will produce neither salvation nor any good thing. He said, faith without works is dead faith. Now, this trust in God is compared to the unbelief of the Israelites in Hebrews, okay? So turn to Hebrews real quick. And you can keep your hand here, because I'm going to go back and forth a little bit. Hebrews chapter 3. And Hebrews is to your left, if you have your Bible. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, he's saying it today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that he should, that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. This is the opposite of Abraham believed God. Okay? And this word is the opposite of pistou, and it is apisto. Has an A in front of it. Okay? And this means unfaithfulness, disobedience, obstinate, and rebellion. That's what it means. See, these people, this was not an I don't believe in God. That's not what these people were saying. He's not saying, they didn't say, I don't believe in God. They knew who God was. It was, I don't believe God. Do y'all see the difference? It wasn't, I don't believe in God. I don't believe God. Do y'all, it's powerful, right? It's powerful. That's the unbelief. It wasn't that they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe God. This is what he's talking about. Will you believe God? If you believe what God said, this is why Abraham offered up Isaac, because he believed God. He said, God told me this, and I believe that God is going to honor that. I believe his words. I believe he will do what he said he would do. It's not, I believe in God. You know, we just read, you believe in one God, you do well. The demons believe and tremble. But do you believe God? And that's what Jesus said, he that believes me, believes me. Do you see the difference? This belief and trust, confidence and commitment to Jesus and his word is essential during these last days. I can't tell you the burden I feel for this. I have pains and stuff in my body because of the burden that God has placed on me. That this is serious time. God said, this is crunch time, people. This is serious. These things are coming to happen. These things are coming. We can't stop it. He said, these things are coming. We've got to trust God through all of this. Like never before. Believe him like never before. God is calling all of us to come to him, and his spirit is seeking to draw all men to himself. We must be ready for what God is doing. He is calling. He is calling all men. Church, and if we're not prepared for that, we're supposed to be out there preaching the gospel. We're supposed to be on the front lines of faith. Holding to the faith of Jesus Christ and his word. And God's going to ask us, some of us, he's going to ask us to do some crazy, bold, courageous things. And if your trust is not in God and you don't believe him, it's not good. See, there's a great falling away, but there's an even greater reaping coming, God said. There's a great reaping coming, and he is going to lengths to bring in his people. God is going to lengths. He is seeking. His spirit is going over all the earth looking for people. He is searching. He's pursuing, church. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Great and mighty things. The Holy Spirit wants to do amazing things in our lives in order that the lost would see and be saved. It's not just for us, although we benefit from it. God wants to do it in order to bring in the lost. So they will look and they will say, oh my gosh, what is going on over there? What is going on with them? I have never seen that in my lifetime. How did that happen? What is going on with you? God wants to do these things in our life to bring in the lost. We need to be ready. It is time to be prepared to sacrifice Isaac. We need to be ready to sacrifice Isaac. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit and do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it. We need to go when he says go. We need to move that mountain when he says move. We need to heal the sick when he says lay your hands on them and pray for them. Yes. Church, we need to stop being disobedient. Amen. Come on, man. Now is the time. Make up your mind. Today is the day. We have to have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. There's an urgency to be ready and prepared in the Lord. Stay in His Word. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray without ceasing. We cannot look at what's going on around us in the world. God said, keep your eyes off of the chaos. We need to keep our eyes up. You need to keep your eyes on Him at all times. You want to rise above that storm? We have to keep our eyes on Him. God has said that Satan is trying to distract the church from fulfilling her mission. He's bringing distractions to the church. And I was talking with a couple people about this lately, and they're like, what is all this stuff going on? Satan is trying to distract us, and he will use whatever means necessary to distract us. He will use our money, he will use our kids, he will use our health, he will use a heart attack. He will use whatever he can to distract us, to get us off of our mission. And he's using distractions right now. Be aware of that, okay? If Satan can get our eyes off Jesus, he will distract us from doing the work we are called to do. We need to stay the course. And we need to trust like never before. Amen? Amen. Let's y'all good? Do y'all receive this? Hey man, if you guys want notes, I've got notes. I know that we record it. It'll be online. You can listen to it again. I like when people take notes. I know a lot of people have taken notes in the past when I had a word of prophecy, and things have already come to pass. And listen, it is not me. I'm up here telling you, it is my gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. I'm just being obedient. Okay. So let's stand up and hold hands. Huh? Y'all like that? All right. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the word of God. Father, and I pray for every heart here. I pray for everybody listening tonight online, Father God. Lord, and everybody that will hear this message, Father, I pray that it goes to the people that will hear and that will receive and bring forth fruit. Father, that we are the bride of Christ, God, and that we will stand up and go forth in your power, God. That we are Joshua, God. Yes. That we will go forth and we will take the enemy's land in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Lord, raise up your people, God. I come against the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I cast it out in Jesus' name. We come against that right now. Lord, stir up the gifts within your people, God. Prepare your people. Ready your people, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us stand up and let us look up in the name of Jesus, Father. And we lift all these things up unto you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right.